remember Zion.
Good morning. My name is Corey Johnson, one of the teaching pastors here at Shelter Rock Church, and we are so thrilled to have you worshiping with us today. Over the past several weeks, we've been journeying through the book of Daniel, and we've been trying to understand what does it look like for a believer to live and thrive in a place that is foreign, you could even say hostile to our faith. And so for the past several weeks, we've been looking at the book of Daniel, and we've seen some beautiful ways in which God has come through for his people time and time again. And I do hope that this has built your faith in God over the past few weeks. How many of us know that, sometimes living in America in this, in this season and in this age feels as though we're living in Babylon? Yeah. Okay, I'm the only one. Okay. but nonetheless, we can live and we can thrive. Amen. And so this morning, we're going to finish up this teaching series with Daniel chapter 6, which is probably one of the most popular or one of the most famous chapters in the entire Bible. It's where Daniel is in the lion's den. Okay. That was a weak roar. Okay. Okay, I won't try that again. But before we get started, today's my son's birthday. Hey, Miles, happy birthday, bud. But before we get started, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for your spirit. Thank you, God, because you are here already. And we just want to say how much we appreciate you being with us. Father God, as we enter into this session of worship, God, we ask that you would break your word to our hearts this morning. God, you know where each one of us are. You know where we are individually. You know where we are as a family. You know where we are as a church. And so, God, we ask that you will speak to us in a very direct and a very personal way this morning. Father God, we leave everything in your hands, and we wait on you to do your work in our hearts. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things that our family loves to do every year is to watch AGT. And, it's one of those things that, we really love to especially see the performers and they're doing their thing and everything like that. But back in 2018, Mary and Tice became the first trapeze artist couple to get an AGT top 10. They were doing well up until, they decided to up their game. And you know that that's part of the competition, right? Every act, you have to up the game a little bit more, a little bit more. So in this one particular session, they decided to up their game, and to perform their act, they decided to do it blind with a blindfold on. And so the trick was that, this is a husband and wife, and the trick was that the wife would, do a trick, and the husband would try to catch her by the ankle, and, that would be the stunt. But unfortunately, that did not happen. And needless to say, when the wife went to do that trick, she slipped through her husband's hands and she fell. And she fell on stage and she actually hit her head. Now, the good thing about this was that she walked away with just some bruises. But the reality is, if she was any higher, this could have been fatal. This could have been critical. What we found out was that there were some pads on the ground that really cushioned her fall, and she just walked away with some bruises. And I show that to say this. How many of us know this morning that living life is very risky? And, there are sometimes we're walking in life and we might have a fall. And the reality is that all of us need some kind of a safety net to protect us as we're walking through life. You see, walking through life can be, almost like walking on a high wire, and anything can happen and we can just fall over. And the question is, what do we have in place to cushion us as we fall? And what I'm talking about here is not a financial safety net or a social security safety net. I'm talking about a safety net that secures your life. Because how many of us know that we can bounce back from a financial crisis? Oh, you don't want to talk to me. You can bounce back from losing a car. You can bounce back from losing a house. You can even bounce back from losing a loved one. But how many of us know that once our life is over, there is no bouncing back from that? And so that's the type of safety net that I'm talking about. Amen. I'm talking about here that once this life is over, the question is, what is that safety net that we're trusting in for salvation? And so this morning, we're going to look at that, and we're going to see how God's faithfulness is really the safety net for those who trust in him. God's faithfulness is a safety net for those who put their trust in him. And so this morning, we're going to be covering a lot of scriptures, but as we're covering these scriptures, we're going to ask that you buckle up your seatbelt because we're going to be in for a ride. Is that okay? All right. My screen here is not working, so I'm going to be reading from text this morning. Okay. So as we think of faithfulness, one of the first things that I want to do is to define what I mean by faithfulness. And faithfulness really means God's unwavering commitment to you as an individual. It's the fact that God, if God makes you a promise, he's going to do everything in his power and then some to fulfill that promise to you. He's not like a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should repent. No, if God says he's going to do something for you, he's going to do it. You might get up to the very last second, to the very last minute, but trust that God is going to come through just in the nick of time for you. Amen? You see, what was happening to the children of Israel was that Nebuchadnezzar, if you remember, Nebuchadnezzar had come and they had conquered Judah and they had carted off the children of Israel. They pulled them into Babylon. And the question that was on the minds of the children of Israel was, how long is this going to last? How long are we going to be in exiles? How long are we going to be in this place? And how many of us know that that is the question that we are grappling with this morning? How long are we going to be in this pandemic season? And the reality is that this was on the hearts of every person. And God is so faithful to them. God is so mindful of their concerns that he writes to them in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. And he says this, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back from this place. In other words, they were concerned about how long they're going to be in that nation. And God says, listen, you're going to be there 70 years. So you know what? Get married, you know, make sure you do a good job because you're not coming out for a while. And let me say this to you this morning. How many of us know that probably where you are is where God needs you to be? Whew. You're in a dark place, but probably that's where God needs you to be. You're in a place where you're having to trust and depend on him, but probably that's just where God needs you to be. Because the one thing I know about God is that even if I'm in a dark place, he has not and he does not abandon his people. God is faithful to his people. And so as we think about this morning, there are two ideas that we want to tease out of the text this morning. The first one is this, that because God is faithful, Daniel was faithful. And the second point I want to tease out this morning is that because God is faithful, Daniel was protected. So let's deal with the first aspect this morning. Because God is faithful, Daniel was faithful. We're going to read in Daniel chapter 6, reading from verse 1 to verse 5. And it's okay, good. Verse 1 says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. And satraps here, you think of them as governors, right? And the way the government was structured was that you had 120, satraps or governors. You had three administrators, and those three administrators were then reporting to the king. You got it? So that's the layer of government. And so with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel, the satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer any loss. So these satraps, these governors, they were put in place to ensure the financial viability of the kingdom. They were there to make sure that the finances were correct and that they were done properly. Now, Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities. that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, this is interesting here. What's that word that's underlined? What does it say? What does it say? It's important to realize here that when Darius, and there has been a change in administration, if you will, when Darius came to power, he did not employ Daniel because Daniel was a religious man. He employed Daniel because Daniel had some exceptional qualities. In other words, Daniel was bringing something to the marketplace that he valued. He was bringing something to the marketplace that he could rely on, that he could count on. And all of us in here who call ourselves believers and who are followers of Jesus Christ, this is something that we always have to grapple with. And this is this, that what are you bringing to the marketplace? What value are you adding to the marketplace? That look, the king said that this man was exceptional, so much so that he was going to promote him. Darius did not employ Daniel because he was a religious man. He employed him because he was a man that had exceptional qualities. But realize that his exceptional qualities was built on his faith. Do you see? So here, the first point that we want to make this morning is that Daniel was faithful, but first and foremost, he was faithful in his position. He was faithful in his position at work. And because of that, this king wanted to promote him. Look at this. Verse 4, it says, at this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was what? Trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Daniel was faithful in his position. And I'm so glad for that because it tells us that when we are faithful in what God has called us to do, that God will make a way for us. You see, what's interesting here is that here is the government structure, the king, the three administrators, and the 120 satraps. Yes? And because of God's faithfulness to Daniel and because of God's Daniel's faithfulness, the governor, the king, was going to create an entirely new position for Daniel. Daniel was going to be ruler over everything. And that is powerful. In other words, when we are faithful in the things that God calls us to do, he elevates us. He allows us to be promoted. Amen? And sometimes as believers, whenever we're in the marketplace, we run away from promotion. We run away from stepping into leadership. But how many of us know that the Bible tells us that when the righteous lead, that the people rejoice. But when wicked men are in power, guess what? People mourn. That's Proverbs 29, verse 10. And so if you are in the marketplace and God is promoting you, don't step away from that. Step into it, amen? Because God needs men and women who are righteous to be in positions of leadership. Why? So that people can experience God's grace. Hello? Amen? Daniel was faithful in his position. What I love about this was that these his colleagues saw that he was going to get promoted. But how many of us know that, you know, if God is moving you up and if you're going to get a promotion, not everybody's going to be happy with you? You know that, right? And so these administrators, they weren't happy at all that Daniel was going to get promoted. And we don't know why they weren't happy. I don't know if it was because Daniel was an older man and they thought, you know what, you know, here's an old geezer, his time has come and passed, and therefore we should just move on with somebody else. We don't know if that was the case. We don't know if it was because he was a foreigner and he had a different accent or something like that, that they weren't they didn't want an outsider to rule over him. We're not told why. All we're told is that they were upset and they took it to another level. They wanted to take out Daniel. They wanted to wipe him out. Amen? But because Daniel was faithful, they could not find any dirt on him. There was no skeleton in his closet. The Bible says, if you go back to the text for a second, says that Daniel, he was not negligent and there was no corruption at all in him. Amen? And because of that, Daniel was promoted. So not only was Daniel, if you will, faithful in his position, Daniel was also faithful in prayer. Daniel was faithful in his prayer life. The Bible tells us that as these men wanted to take Daniel out, the only place that they could attack Daniel is in his religion. Daniel, they couldn't find any corruption on him. They couldn't find any dirt on him. And the only place that they could attack Daniel is in the area of his worship towards God. And how many of us know that many a times as believers, that's the area that we're being attacked the most in our faith. But irrespective of that, Daniel still stayed the course. Daniel still stayed faithful to God. The Bible says here that what these men did, they devised a law. And they pretty much tricked the king into signing the law. And the law went like this. You can't pray to any other gods or any other human beings for the next 30 days except for the king. And the king hurriedly signed it into law because it sounded good. But the Bible tells us that once the law was signed into place, that Daniel did not change. Amen? You would think that Daniel would cower. You would think that Daniel would be afraid. You would think that Daniel would be nervous. But no, Daniel remained faithful in his prayer life. Look with me in verse 10. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. You see, even though the laws of the land had changed as it relates to prayer, the importance of prayer to Daniel had not changed at all. Daniel realized that it was because of prayer while he was able to be successful in King Nebuchadnezzar's days. There were critical turning points in his life where he had to go to God in prayer, and God came through for him. And now that we have a new administrator, now that we have a new law, guess what? Even though those laws have changed, I will not change because God has not changed. They have a idiom, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the situation that Daniel found himself in. Back in Nebuchadnezzar's days when he needed an interpretation of the dream, the Bible says that he and his buddies, they went to God in prayer. And he trusted God to come through for him. And now that a new administration is in power, guess what? Daniel is not going to back down. Daniel is not going to change. And listen, believers, you know what? They have taken prayer out of school, but guess what? They can't take prayer out of you. And so irrespective of the laws of the land, guess what? We can still pray. Amen? God has not changed. Amen? Nathan, our resident theologian. I can say that, Pastor Henry, right? Okay, good. He says this. Because Daniel had bowed his knees in prayer, he could stand and face his enemies. The thing is, are you facing persecution? Are you facing trials? Are you facing pressures that's coming against you because of your faith? Guess what? When you face God, when you go to God in prayer, and when you ask God for help in prayer, guess what? He will give you the strength. He will give you the courage to stand and face your enemies. Amen? Daniel was not only faithful in his position, but Daniel was also faithful in his prayer life. Prayer for Daniel was not something that was optional. It was not something that was arbitrary. For Daniel, prayer was essential. Amen? Prayer was essential. As we continue in the text, we see here where the Bible says that in verse 11 says, then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. What a beautiful place to find you. When things around you are falling apart, when things around you is going crazy, when things around you is going topsy-turvy, guess what? These men, they came and they found Daniel in prayer asking God for help. Who are you asking for help when times are of trouble comes your way? Are you asking your friends, a neighbor, phone a friend, call a friend? Who are you asking for help? Daniel was seeking God's face. Amen? What's interesting here, and as I thought about this, these men were counting on Daniel's faithfulness to trap him. These men, they were counting on Daniel's faithfulness to God in order to trap him. But they had not counted God's faithfulness to Daniel to release him. Do you see that? You see that? A lot of times when your enemy sees you, all they see is your faithfulness to God. But they're not seeing God's faithfulness to you. Amen? And so this morning, if you're in that situation, God will come through for you. Amen? So not only did God's faithfulness cause Daniel to be faithful, but now we're going to see where God's faithfulness caused Daniel to be protected. The Bible says here that after these men came and they found Daniel praying, that they reported him to the king. Let me see here. Where are we? Verse 12. It's not here, so I'm going to be working with the screen. Is that all right? So verse 12. Verse 12 says, "So they went to the king and spoke to him about this royal decree. They said to him, 'Did you not publish a decree during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human beings except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?' And the king quickly answered, 'Yeah, the decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed.'" I'm looking at this and I'm saying, King, here you are making a decision. Here you are making a decree. And the question I have for you, King Darius, did you ask your most trusted advisor, Daniel? Because I'm sure that if you had asked Daniel or if you had gotten Daniel's input on this, you wouldn't have signed this into law. And this is important for us to understand, men, leaders, and you know, and those who head corporations. Listen, when you are making a strategic decision, especially as it relates to your family or as it relates to your business, you do not make these decisions alone. You always consult someone else, especially someone who has been there and done that. Because you're going to make a law, you're going to do something that can throw your family into disarray for the next 15, 20 years, where had you consulted somebody else to get somebody else's input, you would have been okay. You know, I know as men, you know, and you know, we like to make rash decisions, don't we? We think we know best, you know, for our family and things of that nature. But the reality is that sometimes we make a blunder of it, don't we? Okay, am I the only one? Okay. And let me encourage you, it is not weak to ask for advice. It's not weak to ask for input. It's not weak to seek a second opinion. In fact, it shows how much you love and care for those who are entrusted in your care. In fact, it's a sign of strength. It's a sign of wisdom. Amen? And so here is Darius that made a rash decision. What I find also interesting is this, is that the king's instinct about Daniel was correct. He was going to promote Daniel to the highest level, which means that the other men were going to stay in power, if you will. He did not trust them to elevate them. Because here it is that they used the law to their advantage. They abused the law to trap just one man, and that was Daniel. They changed the entire laws of the country. They disrupted the entire worship session of the country just to catch one man. That's how much abuse these men did with their power. Amen? So the king's instinct about Daniel was right. He was the right man for the job. As we continue in the text, the Bible says, "Then they said to the king, 'Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day.'" And so the first thing that God protects Daniel from is from slander. See, Daniel had a reputation. He had a good reputation. And these men wanted to tear down. They wanted to slander him. And look at how they approach Daniel, or look at how they characterize Daniel. Notice that they didn't call Daniel one of their colleagues. Do you notice that? It says, "Oh king, Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah." In other words, here is a foreigner. Here is a person from the outside. Here is a person who comes from a country that was conquered. Here is a person that was weak. And this is the person that you want to set over. Oh, Daniel, who's an exile from Judah. And a lot of times when people want to discredit you, a lot of times when people want to slander you, they'll refer to you by your situation instead of who you are. Oh, look at that one who was. Or look at she who was. You know those terminology. You can fill in the slots. But how many of us know that irrespective of where you were born, irrespective of the circumstances that you've been through, God is still able to protect you? Hello, somebody. They try to slander Daniel. He continues and says, this outsider, this foreigner, guess what, king? He's been disrespectful of you personally, and he's disrespecting the nation politically, because he is not wanting to pray to you as over these 30 days. He's ignoring these laws. How many of us know that you never want to disrespect a king who has power to kill you? Now, you would think that the slander would stick, but King Darius knew Daniel. King Darius knew Daniel's character. He knew Daniel's integrity. He knew Daniel's value. And the next verse says that the king, instead of being angry, the king, instead of being upset, the Bible says the king was in what? What's the word? Because now he understood. The veil was removed from his eyes, and now he understood that, whoa, it's my most trusted advisor who is in trouble. And the Bible says that he spent the next few hours trying to rescue him. He spent the next few hours trying to protect him. But because of the laws of the land, the king was powerless to protect Daniel. And if you read the text carefully, and I suggest that you, when you go home, you read through this passage, you will see these phrases come up through the Bible over and over again. The laws, the decrees of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. Even the king was subject to the laws. I say that to say this. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel as though you're stuck? Have you ever been in a condition where you feel as though you're not making any progress? You see, you might be here this morning and you might be sick in your body, and you keep going to the doctor over and over again, and the doctor is saying that this is useless, this is not going to change, and you're going to conclude that, you know what, this is a sickness that I just have to live with. You might be in a job where you're going to your boss over and over again for a promotion or for a raise, and he keeps rejecting you, keeps saying no, 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 and after a while you're going to conclude that this is impossible, this is not going to change. You might be in a marriage situation where you're not growing together, you're actually growing apart. You're not growing emotionally, you're not growing spiritually, and you've resigned to the fact that this is not going to change. May I say to you this morning that is looking at your circumstances from a limited perspective. That is looking at your circumstances from a human perspective. Guess what? With God, there's an infinite amount of ways that God can rescue you, even in the midst of what seems to be unchanging. The king was powerless to protect Daniel, but God wasn't. And this is the second point in this, that Daniel was not only protected from slander, Daniel was protected from being slaughtered. When the king could not do anything, the Bible says that then verse 16 says, so the king gave the orders, and they brought Daniel, and they did what? They did what? I like that word. Notice they didn't say they placed Daniel in the lion's den. Notice they didn't say they led Daniel into the lion's den. The Bible says that they did what? Now, Daniel is about 80 years old. And how many of us know that if you throw an 80-year-old person, something is going to break. All right, let me say it this way. Chances are something is going to break. Hello? You see, they treated Daniel this way because they didn't expect Daniel to survive. They treated Daniel this way because they expected him to die. They threw him into the lion's den. king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." The next few verses says that they brought a stone, they sealed it, the king sealed the stone so that it could not be moved. Daniel's situation was locked in. But when man sees the impossible, God is able to work out the possible. Amen? The Bible says that the king couldn't sleep all night. And in verse 19, the Bible says that at the first light of dawn, the king got up, hurried to the lion's den. And when he came near, he called out to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to rescue you from the lions?" And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angels to shut the mouth of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty." Daniel was vindicated. Daniel had done nothing wrong, and God protected him, and Daniel was vindicated. And this image here shows you, you know, is a famous image that all of us have in mind, you know, where the angel comes and he shuts the mouth of lions. I'm looking at that picture and I'm saying to myself, wow, who would have thought that God could rescue Daniel that way? His situation was unchanging, yet God chose to rescue him by shutting the mouth of the lions. There are some people who think that the lions were not hungry. Or you laugh. There's some people who think that, you know, they must have fed the lion and so he didn't attack Daniel. But look at me, look with me in the next verses. 23 says, "Then the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him." They threw him in. Yet no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought and thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. Okay. Children, whenever you see mommy and daddy doing anything wrong, just remember this passage, okay? Let me stop. Let me move forward. "And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed their bones." It was not because the lions weren't hungry why they didn't attack Daniel. It was because God rescued Daniel. Amen? Amen? And so sometimes we're going through situations, we're going through circumstances, and we're leaning on other people. We're trusting in all these other things to protect us. But how many of us know that God's faithfulness is a safety net to those who put their trust in him? I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And as they come, as we think about this morning, the question I have for you is, do you have a safety net? Do you have a safety net in place that when you fall, that if you fall, that it is there to protect you? You see, my safety net looks like this. It looks like this. You see, my safety net has holes in it. And if you know anything about a safety net is designed to absorb the impact of the fall so that you can walk away alive. But my safety net has holes in it. If I fall in this safety net, I'm not secure. I'm dead. See, what's interesting is that the Bible speaks of a fall. He's not talking about a fall off a ledge or a fall off a cliff. He's talking about a fall from grace. The Bible speaks of the fact that we fell in the garden and we fell from the presence of God. We fell from the ideal standard that God had in store for us. And when we fall, we fell into sin. And because of that, our destiny is one way. Our destiny is death. But I'm so glad that God created a safety net. God provided a safety net for me. And he has provided a safety net for you. And the safety net that he provided looks like the cross. Because on the cross, you see where Jesus, he absorbed the full punishment of what you deserved. He absorbed the full impact of God's wrath. And he didn't walk away alive. He died so that you might live. And so the question I have for you this morning is, who are you trusting as your safety net? Are you trusting your good works? Those good works have holes in them. Are you trusting your grandmother's or your mother's faith? Guess what? Each person has to have their own safety net. Who, what are you trusting in for salvation? You saw the clip at the beginning. The wife thought that she was secure in the arms of her husband, but she slipped through. There is only one arms that is secure for all of us, and that's in the arms of Jesus. So the question I have for you this morning is, who is your safety net? Who are you trusting in to secure your life? Could you stand to your feet with me this morning? If you are here this morning and you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, I want to give you that opportunity. I don't want you to walk away from here and not have the opportunity to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because living life without a safety net is risky. It's very dangerous. But you can walk out of this place this morning feeling confident that Christ has you in his arms. And so if that is you this morning, could you bow your heads with me? If that is you this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer similar to this. If God is tugging on your heart and there's something that resonates with you in this message, God, don't leave here the same way you came, but pray this prayer. Lord, thank you for your gift of salvation. I recognize that I've been walking without a safety net, and that you've provided your son, Jesus Christ, as that safety net for me. And so, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And save me from the death to come. Lord, I trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. There are some of us this morning who we have trusted Jesus Christ for salvation. We have asked him to be our safety net. But you know what? The pressures of life is wearing us thin. The circumstances around us seems unending. The pressure just keeps piling up, and we're on the brink of giving up. May I pray for you this morning? Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,